الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له لحافظون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting with our talk, one posture of namaz, that when we are in the jalsa position, that is in the sitting position between the two sajdas, or after at the end of the namaz, then our hands, this is again how our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahimahumullah taught us, our hands should be on our thighs close to the knees, and also the fingers should neither be closed and neither left open, just according to your habit it should be. This, in that way we should put our fingers, hands on the thighs. And then when we read, when we come to At-Tahiyyatu Lillahi wa Salawatu wa Tayyibat, when we come to the end, Ashhadu an la ilaha, then Hazrat taught us that we should make the two fingers we should place like this, and make a ring with this finger, and then lift this forefinger. In that way, there are other ways also which ulama say, but this is the way that our Shaykh has taught us. So in this way, on your thigh, you lift up your finger, Ashhadu an la ilaha, and with illallah you bring it down, but not right down. You suspend it a bit. In that way, we should read our tahiyyat, lifting of the finger and dropping it again. So these two fingers must touch the palm, and then with this we make a ring with these two fingers. And this finger we lift up, and then we drop it down, not right down, but just suspend it a little bit. And as I say, there are other views also, and whichever view a person wishes to follow, but this is how our Shaykh had taught us, and we do according to that. Further, with regard to the Quran Sharif, and also that our fingers, when they are in the At-Tahiyyat position, the Shahud position, Jalsa, then our fingers should be on our thighs, and they should be close to the knees. The end of the fingers should be by the knees, and the hands should be on the thighs. That is also how our Shaykh had taught us. There also, there are other views as well. With regard to the Quran Sharif, we have explained two aspects of the Quran, the rights of the Quran. One was Iman bil Quran, and that no matter how much we repeat it and how much we discuss it, cannot be enough. That we believe that this Quran Sharif is the word of Allah, Allah sent it down, and the meaning is also from Allah Ta'ala, and we have to access the meaning which Allah has intended. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who in turn explained it again to all the students until today, that meaning is the correct meaning of the Quran Sharif. A person's own view, even if it is correct and we give our own view, then that is also incorrect. So we must not give our own view in the meaning of the Quran Sharif, the tafsir of the Quran Sharif. On that point, again, I'm just going backwards, but inshallah it will be of beneficial, especially since one of our graduates told me that many arguments he had with Salafis, he couldn't get through to them to make them understand this point, that we have to take our deen from our elders and they take it from their elders until it reaches to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he said with this one example, they understood very quickly. And that example is this, that a father is lying on his bed at night. He's going to sleep now. Or he's sitting on the couch in the lounge. And he tells his son, Muhammad, bring me water. So, in what will the son take water? In a glass. But on a Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning, he's standing outside in the yard by the car. He's got his sleeves rolled up, and he's going to be washing the car. And he says exactly the same words, Muhammad, bring me water. Now, what will he take water in? in a bucket. He won't take, if he takes, when his father is sitting on the lounge and he wants to drink water, and the son takes a bucket of water, or when he wants to wash the car and he takes a glass of water. So who will know? The words are the same, Muhammad, bring me water. But who will know which, in the glass or in the bucket? The person who knows that situation there. So the Sahaba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ayahs that were revealed, we gave a few examples already previously. So they who were present, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them, they know the correct meaning. And this is what is meant. In fact, becoming an alim is not to know, but it is that explanation. And the real sanad, certificate of an alim, according to our Islamic terms, is not like a school certificate or university certificate that you pass an exams, though that certificate is also given. But the real sanad is that I learned this kitab from this ustad of mine. And he learned it from that ustad. And that sanad, that chain that goes right to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the real sanad. And that understanding of the kitab, that is what is important, whether it's tafsir, whether it is hadith or whatever. Just passing an exam is not the thing. It is that you have understood deen in this correct way. So this is what is important. So and also, one other point as far as iman on Quran Sharif is concerned, where we have iman on the whole Quran, on every ayat our iman must be complete, 100% on every ayat. That this is the command of Allah, and this is how it's going to remain till the day of Qiyamah. Whether we, if I think it's not practical, that is my own problem. That is my own nuksan, my own harm. And I must accept it. It is practical. That is that iman. It is practical, but since I am weak, or we are weak, we are not practicing on it. But it is practical, and that is the Quran, and it will be. As it was in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, and the Quran was lived to the T for how many centuries. Now there are many things that we don't practice upon, which are in the Quran Sharif. But when Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala anhu will come, the whole of deen will be established again in its original form. And everyone will practice deen, whether it is stoning to death, whether it is cutting of hands, whether it is 100 lashes, all that will happen. And till today, it's taking place. Only thing is, we are slaves of the media. And we just follow the media. Whereas in Saudi Arabia, till today, all these punishments are being given. But they don't highlight it, because one, from their side, the repercussion that they will have. And the other is, the non-Muslims don't want to let the people know. I was so surprised that here in Burundi, or it was, I think it was Burundi, they told us that if a person commits adultery and he comes and he admits it to the imam, which is not a Muslim country, though there are plenty of Muslims there, but they will give him 100 lashes till today. This was, I'm talking about 2-3 years ago when we were there, that they will actually give the 100 lashes. So these things are practiced. Deen in the deserts, etc., far away places, it is still being practiced 100%. We must not think like one Jamaat that went to one West African country, and those people, they, when the Jamaat came, they actually started pulling at their beards. So they asked, what are you doing? Why are you pulling at our beards? They said, it's maybe just a wig. It's not a real beard. They asked why. They said that we have been indoctrinated that there are no Muslims left in the world. It's only you stupid fools here in this country that you are left. So the indoctrination and what is happening in the media, and we are all falling prey to it. We are all getting influenced with the media and with what they are portraying. Whereas Allah Ta'ala has given Islam, and it is being lived till today. And it is being lived in many parts of the world. May Allah give us also tawfiq. And those people, like one lady who traveled from Yemen, Sana'a, the capital of Yemen, to Madinatul Munawwara in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then when she came there for some reason, she had to travel without a mahram. Otherwise, it's necessary for a woman to have a mahram. She shouldn't travel without a male who she is not who she cannot marry. That is like her father, her brother, her sister. She can't marry a brother or son who she can't marry. It's necessary, but for some reason she had to travel. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked her, how did you find your travel and your journey? And she was laden with jewelry. She said, it was so peaceful, as though I was walking from one room of my father's house to the other room. How I have complete security and I have no worry of anything, like that I felt. This is when Islam will be lived and the laws of Islam will be alive. Everyone, in the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh, a shepherd was grazing his animals. And then suddenly he found that a wolf had attacked one of the sheep. So he said, most probably our Amirul Mu'mineen has passed away. And with those days communication, it took a few days to verify. But he verified it, and it was exactly at that time. He said, while he, the Amirul Mu'mineen, was ruling with so much justice, even a wolf will not attack a sheep. This is when Islam and the teachings of Islam will be alive. But just to give you another glimpse also, that to rule according to that, what qualities a person needs. It was Eid's night, and the wife of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, came and said that all the children are having new clothes, and which is common with children. They showed the other children, tomorrow Eid's day, we are going to wear this shoes, we're going to wear this kurta, we're going to wear this. Our children got nothing. So he said, I can't afford it. My salary, what I get, I can't afford it. Then she said that, but please make some plan. She said, what must I take from the state treasury, and must I get the fire on the day of Qiyamah, and must I be in the azab there? I can't. She said, take 1 year's advance salary. And then every month, and we'll make do as whatever we can. But at least with 1 year's advance salary, they would be able to buy something. He said that, what guarantee have I got that I'm going to live till the end of this month? That even this month's salary, I take it in advance. So these type of people were made with this, and there are many other instances of these great people. Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was the fifth righteously guided Khalifa. And the four other Khalifas, how they ruled over the people. Today that Allah make that we have this qadr and we realize this. That is when the Islam, the Quran Sharif will be alive in the world, people's lives will be like this. And people will enjoy this kind of life. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Then anyway, we carried on with the respect and the love of the Quran Sharif. With regard to that, we mentioned a few things, like the Quran Sharif, we must try and cover it, don't leave it uncovered. A few friends of ours, or rather maybe one friend who is sitting here, mashallah, he took the trouble, and we'll notice that most of our Quran Sharifs got covers upon them. He was his own expenses, and mashallah, he sewed the covers. And what I also suggested, that if we can, today, though it's not now so necessary, but just as our Tabligh Jamaat goes for gush to various masjids, if we also make a Jamaat to go and see whether all the Qurans are kept neatly in the various masajid, and if not, with the permission of the Mutawallis, don't just do it on our own, pack them nicely and keep them neatly and in order. And if Allah give more tawfiq, cover the Quran Sharifs also. And then after that, as we mentioned, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that once we have covered the Quran Sharif, just like we wore once clothes, we don't wear it the whole life. We take them off, we have them washed. So that cover also we should take it off and wash it. And also, like we wear clothes, it's winter, we are wearing warm clothes, but still we don't stay outside under the trees or something. We stay in a house, whether it's a little shanty, whether it's a simple house, whether it's a luxurious house, but we stay in houses. So to keep the Quran Sharif also in a house. Cover it also with its clothes, put a cover on. And then put it in a juzdan. That is, Juzdan we should put it, so we have to put it. So with this respect we should keep the Quran Sharif. And just see our elders, where their minds go. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, after washing the Quran Sharif cover or the Juzdan, don't leave it now for 20 years, then you decide to wash it once a year, 6 months, whatever it is, but wash it. And that water is that water that has touched, that juzdan, that cover which has touched the kalam of Allah. There is a lot of barakat in it. Don't throw it, let it go down the drain, where the sewage and the muck and urine and raw sewage also runs. This water shouldn't run with that water. So have that in mind. The Hazrat used to suggest that sprinkle it in the house on the walls. There is a lot of barakat in that. We'll get barakat in our house. Or if not, then throw it in the garden. But don't let it go with the sewage water. Even if we try, let it go down the basin, that also mixes with the sewage. All that eventually runs in one pipe. And then this great water of which has touched the Quran Sharif, that will be running there. So we should try and avoid that. So we should have that respect. Also, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that the Quran Sharif must only be kept on a rahel. The rahel that we have here, the rahel. We should say, like the king is should sit only on his throne, nowhere else. This is the throne of the Quran Sharif. And nobody else should sit on the throne of the king. So we shouldn't put any other kitab on the rahel. Today, commonly we are using desks, but if we see in the Haramain Sharifain, they still use the rahal. Extensively, only the rahal is used. And as I mentioned, and that is one great advantage and benefit, if we go out in Jamaat, we will see various sunnats are alive in the ummah in various places. We might be thinking, we are practicing, and also this is one nature of human being. What he is practicing on, he judges people according to that. For example, he is making tahajjud, so he judges other people, are they pious, are they making tahajjud. But that person might be doing some social welfare work. He is having wells dug for people where they don't have water, whereas he is not doing that. And that person will judge this person according to his standard again. Everyone, al-mar'u yaqisu ala nafsihi. Everyone according to his own standard. How a person is making namaz. If he is making his namaz properly, he is judging other people. But all his other weaknesses, that is not in front of him. And those other people are judging him according to that. And we are not here to judge anyone. We are here to try and bring the whole of deen. Like for example, we noticed when we were out in Jamaat, the Arabs were very particular about Tahiyyatul Masjid, which we are commonly, we don't practice on that. Well, we know the masala, that when you make your sunnat-e-mu'attada, your tahiyyatul masjid also gets done. But if we are making namaz in one masjid, at least once in 24 hours we should make tahiyyatul masjid. Tahiyyatul wudu, perhaps we don't make that. So we can make both the niyats in one namaz also. And Haji Bhai Fadiya Rahmatullah Ali used to say, like we can make Salatul Tawbah, Salatul Hajah, Salatul Shukr, many other niyats for in two rakats. But he says sometimes when you have a hajat, a real hajat, or Allah has favored you shukr, make separate two rakats. Don't join them. So like that, who of us really makes Tahiyyatul Wudu? That when we have made wudu, and then we come and make our two rakats of namaz. Usually we are weak in that. And with Tahiyyatul Masjid also, we are weak. There are many other namazes. Then some people are very, very particular, especially women folk, with their chaste namaz. They are at home, they plan themselves in such a way, they see to this duty, now this slot has come for my chaste namaz. And chaste is not, Salatul Dhuha is not only for women, it is for men also. Now if we consider ourselves, how many of us in Ramadan do we make Salatul Dhuha? How many of us, when we go to Haramain Sharifain for Umrah, we are free there. We went there for Ibadat, we say. But we are not even making. And usually I say, may Allah give me also tawfiq first, that at least once in a lifetime, make our Ishraq four rakats. make our charge 12 rakats. 2 rakats also our charge gets done. But why don't we do it at least once? In Ramzan we are free. Okay, we have got programs here. But many places where there aren't programs, people are sitting for itikaf the last 10 days. Or we go for Umrah. Or if you are in Jamaat and such days come that there isn't really any other work, our duty is not to cook food, etc. We can make 20 rakats of awwabin. Ask us, I must ask myself first, that my whole life did I read once also 20 rakats of awwabin namaz. Eh? So all this also, we should try and bring this. And these things are alive in many people. So when we move around and when we see it, then the desire and the thought comes to us. Otherwise the thought is not only there. Every one of us practically, may Allah forgive us and guide us, we have got a few things in our mind which is deen. And anyone who practices like that, then that person has got deen. And for that reason it is common. People who live in one area, if they go to another area, even Ramzan, they feel there is no enjoyment there. Those people, they don't practice Ramzan. Ramzan is by us. Like especially those people who read wazifas loudly. After Taraweeh, in between the four rakats, they read a lot. When they come here, they say, there's no Ramzan there. There's no environment of Ramzan there. So everyone judges according to whether it is even bid'at he has got in his life. But that is what is deen for him. And when others are not practicing that, many people who are used to dua after namaz, go to the haramain, the imams don't even make dua. There is no dua, there is no deen, even in the haramain sharifain. They don't make dua after namaz. So everyone judges according to himself, which is a dangerous thing. And that one of the great harms of it, we don't see the good which is in other people. And we think we got a lot of good qualities within us. And we want to just think that this is deen. And nothing else is deen. Those people who go for Umrah every year, that is deen for them. Eh? If a person doesn't go for Umrah every year, that person hasn't got deen. He hasn't got love of Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif. Other people who are doing makatib work, and what great work they are doing. But to anyone else who's not doing that, and he looked down upon that person, it is not right. So we should know the whole of deen, we should try and at least make dua. Allahumma ahyi deena kulla fil alami kulli. Oh Allah, make the whole of deen alive in the whole world. So this Quran Sharif, this is what it is. So the love of the Quran Sharif also should be in our hearts. Try and embed it. And if we can't today, just each one of us think, on that I was thinking, that we have spoken on this, that Asr Namaz we all made now, all made the same four rakats behind the same Imam also. But how many of us, the Imam read Surah Fatiha, the Shafis read Surah Fatiha, Shafi'is, but the Hanafis we didn't read, but did we think of Surah Fatiha? Four rakats in the, or even those who read, did they think of the meaning? Yeah, slightly. Did we think of it? And we said about easily 30 to about 24 times in the Faraz Namaz, Allahu Akbar. Forget the greatness, or did we even think of the meaning of Allahu Akbar one time? So this is where we have to check ourselves and try and come a bit slowly, slowly, whether it's myself, whether it's anyone else. This is to know that somebody is perfect and others, we are perfecting others, we are all. And muzakara is the thing that, and as we had mentioned, that why has Allah kept so many times Allahu Akbar in namaz? Why has Allah kept every rakat with Surah Fatiha? Either we read it or the Imam reads it on our behalf. If the Imam is reading it, we should think of the meaning. In a silent namaz like Asr, there is no license for us now that we are moving around in the world with our thoughts. No, we should be in namaz. And what Allah has taught us in namaz. So these things should come into us. So in order to bring it, if just remind us. And if we will take it to mind, and one very, very effective way, which I have found, which helps, we are all very far from the mark, but which helps, is that before namaz, make this niyat, that, oh Allah, I'm going to make a perfect namaz. My intention is to make a perfect namaz. For one, we will get the sawab. لِكُلِّ مْرِئِمْ مَا نَوَى. Every person, and also as we have suggested many times, especially in the morning when we wake up, make this niyat that all your commands, O Allah, which are directed to me, I'm going to fulfill them all. And make this niyat that I'm going to fulfill them perfectly. According to your niyat, you're going to get sawab. And before Quran, Alhamdulillah, Manan Musa, also we have to do that. Ask the brothers to write down how much Quran they have read. Even without names. Just so that we have an idea. So inshallah, Manan Musa will do that. Give out small blocks of paper. And if everyone can just write on there, how many suparas or how many khatams he has made. So that you don't have to write your name. And then we just get an idea. So the idea, object, Hazrat Maulana Ali Mia Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, great scholar of Islam, he says that the object of a khanqa is where the day of Qiyamah is pushed further away. That so much zikr is taking place, so much Quran Sharif is taking place, so much ta'lim is taking place, so much islah is taking place. That is what is supposed to be a khanqa. It mustn't happen, somebody comes to a khanqa and you find people just busy eating. Not one person in any ibadah. Or he comes in a khanqa and he finds all fast asleep. Nobody is in any ibadah. That should not be the case. Before, every sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, our pious people, every home was a khanqa. Every home was a darul ulum. Every home was a tablighi markaz. Today, our masajid, one friend of ours, he has passed away, very, very pious person. He was in Beirut. He was traveling. And it was the month of Ramadan. And he likes his wazifas. And he was pious. His ibadah. They only made 8 rakats of the Taraweeh namaz. And that also all 8 rakats in Watteen, the one surah. Only in the Watteen, one surah, they made 8 rakats. And finished. They're going to lock the masjid. He likes his wazifas. He was busy reading, etc. Maulana Abdul Rahman and their uncle. So he has passed away. MashaAllah. And he's in Jannatul Ma'ala. MashaAllah. So anyway, he wanted to read some wazifas. The masjid caretaker came and he said, come. You have to go out. I have to lock the masjid. The whole night masjid is locked in Ramzan also. Again, I'm drifting, but inshallah it is of benefit for all of us. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri, rahmatullah alayh, when he was doing his 1 year in Jamaat in the Arab countries, before they had for ulama 3 years in Jamaat. 1 year in India, Pakistan to learn the work, 1 year in the Arab countries to learn the language, and 1 year in European countries, Western countries to go and do the work at intervals. So they were doing their 1 year. They came to Baytul Muqaddas, Baytul Maqdis, and they reached there at night a bit late. They made the Isha namaz. They slept away. Fajr time, they got up. Muazzin came. He gave azan. Now they're waiting. No namaz is taking place. No imam is coming. And after waiting quite a while, the sun is going to be rising. They have to make now Fajr. So they got up and they look for the Muazzin. He's also missing. Only the Jamaat brothers were there. And please, there is not something to laugh, but to cry tears of blood. Then they made the namaz finish. Zuhr time, again the Muazzin came. They asked him, what happened Fajr? You were not here. So he said, I only get paid to give azan. I'm not paid to make namaz. So I only come and give the azan and I go away. The imam, for whatever reason, he couldn't make it. So he was not there. So when this is the condition, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah at that time, maybe how many years ago, 60, 70, 80 years ago, he said this masjid cannot remain in the hands of the Muslims. It will go out of... If we don't make our masajid abad, the same thing in India what happened at the time of partition, etc. We don't make the masjid abad and this is Allah's system. And Allah has got so much of gharat and Allah is not in need of anyone. Masjids were turned into stables. Masjids were turned into what and what when we don't look after the masajid. And our deen which Allah has given us and what a ni'mat Allah has given us. A person who becomes an alim and doesn't make qadr of his ilm. A person who becomes a hafiz and doesn't make qadr. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of anyone. May Allah forgive us, and may Allah let us appreciate what deen has and what sacrifices it has come to us. So the Quran Sharif is also a great kitab which has come to us, and that we can read it. And we have got so many huffaz who read it so clearly, beautifully, and who the memory is so good. We must appreciate this. May appreciate it in the family, appreciate it wherever. Particular thing, when there are hafizas in the house, let Quran be alive in the house. The husband humbrawas the wife, for example, and let her test her. The mother listens to her children, everyone, one another, let it be alive all the time. And if we could take it into the late hours of the night, what to say about that? Otherwise, at least during the day, and just Quran Sharif must be alive. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So that is also one aspect of love and respect of Quran Sharif. Another aspect also is that, for example, when we want to open the Quran Sharif in Hardoi, where Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to be, they were very particular. A student was not allowed to just, like a book, you just open it like that. They would reprimand him. Slowly he, with respect and love and honor, he should turn the pages. Like a book we have, you find a search, you take a telephone directory. You are looking for somebody's name under M. So you just turn the pages like that. The Quran don't turn the pages like that. To take a few, turn them, and it must be noticeable that you have, that this is a different kitab. This is not an ordinary kitab. And we find, may Allah give us tawfiq, our Dini Kitab, Hazrat Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, Rahmatullah, it is famous with it. Forget touching the Kitab without wuzu, that was out of the question. And the Kitab, how the old system of the Kitabs was, the fine print, the footnotes, are written in all the directions, for the top, for the sides, and the bottom. He wouldn't turn the Kitab to see what is written on that side. He will get up and go that side and read it from there. So much of respect they had. And today, that respect, unfortunately, we have lost very, very greatly. Kitabs, how many, because it's a Maulvi's house, how many people bring their old, when they're clearing out the house, just bring all the old stock and just come and dump it here. Like dumping it. Kitabs are not to be dumped like that. Allah reward Darul Ihsan, Mufti Zubair Sahib and them, that they have got these boxes everywhere. And what good work they are doing. How many good kitabs they are finding in there. Kitabs which are called Nayab, which are difficult to find. They are out of print. There is only one or two copies. Oh, there was an alim in the family. He cherished it. He kept it. But the young people, when we started the Darul Uloom here, one friend of mine, who we studied together, and he had also brought kitabs, and this might have been 30 years later, he sent his kitabs to the Darul Uloom. In the trunk that he brought in the steel trunk in the ships in those days, that he didn't have the key to open the door. He brought it from there, he never opened it, the trunk also. And now there's the Darul Uloom, well, they will use it, give it to them. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali at one place went to an alim's house and the kitabs were on the shelves. And today this is also like a set of kitab, of 10 kitabs. Then the name that is printed is not on every kitab, but it is printed across the kitab. So Mufti Sahib wiped his hand carefully and he said, MashaAllah, these kitabs are never touched also. Otherwise that whole setting will be disturbed. Whereas if we go and see Sheikh Yunus of Damat Barakat room in Saharanpur, his room is misdaq. It is an epitome of the words kafan baning kitab ke waraqo kafan baninge. That the pages of the kitabs will be our kafan. That is how they associate with the kitabs. But today we don't have that. We don't touch our kitabs also. How many, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written, may Allah forgive us all, that for example, if the ustad of your Jalalain, your tafsir kitab became ill, and the madrasa couldn't find a replacement, and 2 suparas were left out, he didn't complete it. 5 suparas were left out. He said, how many students go make sure that they read that 5 suparas by somebody? Otherwise, they will be tested on the 25th they did. And they will pass and they go to the next year. So this is also something may Allah Ta'ala bring into us. So anyway, so the respect of the Quran Sharif. When sitting down, our old people, they had great, great love for the Quran Sharif. And with great respect they should read it. So love and respect of the Quran. So the first is Iman bil Quran. The second point we have discussed is love and respect. And the third point is that we should learn the Quran Sharif. And this learning process, may Allah give us tawfiq, should be from the cradle to the grave. All the time we should learn. A hafiz who doesn't make door, he knows his door becomes weak. A qari who doesn't practice regularly and the rules, that will become weak also. So even tafsir, if we studied while we were studying, you studied Bedawi, if you did Qata Supara, you are lucky. But who of us really go one bit further, one ayat further than that? Or to study further. Just now, I was reading a kitab that our syllabus is such, our madari syllabus, that if a person completes it and sticks to it and he teaches and he keeps on making his mutala, then this is enough to produce great men, which the whole world together cannot produce such men. But he says most of the students also, especially the clever ones, they go and give some university examination, they get a university degree, and then they get jobs at schools and universities, etc. But those who remain firm on the dini line, and they keep up with their mutala, Allah reward our Mufti Mas'ud Sahib, who is the Mufti in our Darul Ifta, he has taken, without pay, he has asked for 2 hours a day. This year we gave him 1 hour. Only to make mutala, to study. And we told him we will pay him. It's the asset to the madrasa, it's the asset to the ummah. He said, no, I won't take that pay. But so that I can study further. After he, and he said, mashallah, how he has taught his sons and how he's teaching. But see that jazba, may Allah cultivate that in us. So if a person, these type of men are produced when we have that contact with our kitabs. But if we just want to have our sanad and we have graduated and we stop there, then we don't. And at least, especially for the ulama, Quran Sharif, tafsir, little bit, 1-2 ayahs we should see. Hadith Sharif and the magazines which come of madrasas, whether it is local or even from overseas. Always current topics are discussed in there. And a person's ilm will remain fresh if he keeps on minimum that is. And more than that, how much we can do, we should do. So anyway, we should learn the Quran also all the time. There should be a learning process all the time. After the learning process, then the recitation of the Quran. And this is a very important part of it. To read Quran Sharif daily. I usually say, may Allah give us tawfiq, me in my life, in our home, that no father should allow any of his children to leave the home until they have recited Quran Sharif in the morning. No mother should give breakfast to her children until first they have recited Quran Sharif. And that is what I mean by recitation of Quran Sharif is not wazifas, like Yasin Sharif in the morning, that we have to read, that we should read. And then at night, Surah Tabarak Alladhi, Alif Lam Mim Sajda, Surah Waqia, and other surahs also, Surah Naba, Amma Yatasa'aloon, and all other surahs also, Surah Fatah. There are many surahs that we should be reading, but besides that, to read Quran Sharif from the beginning to the end. Read portion by portion. Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali says, the requirement, the minimum requirement, and here we are repeating many times, we say the minimum is 1 supara. But for us who have freed ourselves, we have come for a year, for 30 days, 40 days, we have got much more. For us, it's not 1 supara. And when Maulana Musa, inshallah, takes that, we will try and see. Everyone, be honest. Your name won't be there. But write how much we have learned. How much we have read. Whether it's 1 supara, 5 supara, 20 supara, whatever. One good friend of ours, very paban, he has gone home, student here, and he says that his email came perhaps 2 days ago, that was about the 8th of Ramadan. He said, I have not even read 1 supara. So we should, and this is all just for encouragement. And those who have read a lot, the others will get encouraged. For those who have read less, so it is for encouragement. So, but for us here, who are sitting here, one khatam is not enough. Far from being enough. We are free all the time. Maulana Musa, Allah rewards him. May Allah reward him. He's making a lot of effort that an environment of ibadat must be created. That is what is called the khanqa. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, if it is only fresh air and water and food, then it is a khamakha. It is nothing, it's just a waste of time. That is not a khanqa. A khanqa is, yeah, especially that we worried of our Islam, our ibadah, the environment, that people can make out there. If you go to a factory and all people are outside having a bribe and there is no protection, how can that factory run? And if this factory is running or without any production, and our production main is tilawat of Quran, nafil namaz, zikr, dua, etc. And zikr we are making also very, very little, only 50 times. But that also we find it's more. Like every morning also throughout the year we try to have more. We find it's a sleeping session. The brothers sleep more in that time. So that should not be the case. The essence of it should come alive. So recitation of Quran Sharif. We should try and read and make Quran Sharif alive. In our homes we should have. And a good way for those who are on the bare minimum of one, for those, there are many who are making 11 khatams in the year. Every Islamic month, they read one supara. They read one khatam. And you follow the Islamic dates and you read. That is an easy way to keep track of the Islamic date also, and the day, month which has got 29. You just read 4 days, a quarter extra, or one day you take out a half an hour extra and you sit down and you read and you cover up your one supara and you read for, you complete one khatam every month. Otherwise, at least one khatam a year. And that is the very, very bare minimum which Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, with two khatams in a year. One in the month of Ramadan, at least the whole ummah should be doing that. We should try our utmost. Lot of negligence is coming in this, which should not be tolerated. For everyone for himself, he should not tolerate it. At least make one khatam. And if we can, make much more. And then one khatam during the whole year we should try and make. And if we read 3-4 pages a day, I saw our good friend Maulana Qasim Zubair Ali, that he comes in the masjid, he reads his sunnahs, takes the Quran, and he reads 1-2 pages. Easily you can read. 2-3 namazas and your quarter supara can be done. And without difficulty. Today, one thing which I feel people find difficulty, to allocate one time a big half an hour. Today, half an hour has become too much. But one friend of ours, I will mention this, he has passed away, Allah give him Jannat inshallah. He told me he had a big domestic problem with his wife. Because at night he used to, after Isha, that is when he used to go for Isha. Then he should, those days was videos, and then he should watch one film. Until about 11 o'clock, then another film. And all bad films. And now he's aroused. Now he goes to bed. His wife is fast asleep. Now he wakes his wife up. And she becomes so angry, the next morning her mood is terrible. But alhamdulillah, Allah gave him tawfiq, he changed his life. He says, now I sleep early, I get up for tahajjud, I get up for my fajr is in place, my wife is never angry with me. This is the Islamic straightforward life. So Quran Sharif, if we have recitation in our homes, my one uncle, he should go to your shop early, at least 1 hour earlier. He should read Quran Sharif before he opens the doors. And according to Islamic dates, though it was a country town, where even today in the cities where there are so many ulama, we are not aware of Islamic dates. But he in a far off country town, he should read his one supara every day according to Islamic date. In our cars we should try to make Quran Sharif alive everywhere. Quran Sharif, we are going for an appointment. We are at a doctor, wherever. And we know we're going to wait half an hour. Take a Quran Sharif word. Or at least let us be, while we are sitting there, don't be shy. We have to make it alive. The other people mustn't feel, they put magazines there. All naked women and all that. They're not shy to put all that. And when we all watch that, then we are all in the stream. And we are all like that. We as people who are with beards, dopeys and that, we should be making Quran Sharif alive. Once we were traveling to Palestine, and we just sat in the bus, and little bit in front of us were two young Palestinians, young boys. From their dressing was completely different. But as soon as the bus started, they were reading from there till we reached our destination. They were reading Quran Sharif right through. So Quran Sharif recitation, and how good won't it be that we, the grown-ups and the elders of the house, no alarm clocks in our house, but that we get up, and if a person sets himself, times himself, he will be able to do it. Otherwise we get up. But when we want the children to get up, by that time all are reading. The mother is reading loud Quran, the father is reading, and that Quran Sharif wakes up the child. And he hears Quran Sharif coming in his ear, and he knows now it's time to get up for Fajr. And we know that nobody, especially young children, they sleep very late. This is also a terrible malady and illness which is gripping the whole world. That to sleep late at night, and our eastern countries, India, Pakistan, is gone way out of control. The people in a wedding will only open the date not before 12 o'clock at night. And then all the things carry on. How are they going to get up for Fajr? Shops open 11, 12 o'clock. And then they carry on till past Isha, the shops are open. Then the people go home, eat. And Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, I feel like taking a gun and shooting the people who are just sitting around and not doing any constructive work after Isha. Just worldly talk. And today to go for a tea party, go to a restaurant and all that, and spend our time. So recitation of Quran Sharif is extremely important. End our day with recitation of Quran. Read Alif Lam Mim. Read Surah Fatiha. Read Amin al-Rasul. Check up and what great virtues there are for reading a certain amount of ayats. The whole night sawab you get. So lot sawabs. It's just little bit, not much. It won't take you not more than 5 minutes, and you can do a lot in 5 minutes. Otherwise, many of us think carefully that we might not be even sleeping with Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. How many are falling asleep with the telephone now in the hand? One place we went, and there was a ijtima. We were staying at somebody's place. On the top floor we were staying. When we went for Fajr the next in the morning, we found in the living room, in the dining room, it looked like a war zone. The TV was on blank, because now there was no program Fajr time. And somebody is lying on the couch this side, somebody on the floor that side, watching TV, all slept away. Four or five people, all just sleeping like they've been shot. And they're just lying like that. And how did they sleep? Watching TV. If mort is to come like that. And we were watching all that haram and all that. And no, forget wuzu is out of the question. Just the simple dua, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. We are so tired, we just fall asleep. Oh, we are falling asleep with filthy and dirty thoughts. How nice won't it be if we are reading Alhamdi Sharif, Alif Lam Mim Tal Muflihun, Ayatul Kursi, Amin al-Rasul, and then we sleep in that way. May Allah give us tawfiq that we become the living Quran. Quran Sharif is a kitab, keep it close to you, keep it in your heart, keep it on your tongue, keep it in your eyes must see according to Quran, your hands must touch according to Quran. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Quran is the kitab, and on the day of Qiyamah, وقال الرسول يا ربي إن قوم اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Quran will lay a charge. Quran itself we read, Maulana Ridwan sahab read, the Quran will complain on the day of Qiyamah. Allah's Rasul is going to complain of our relationship with the Quran Sharif. That we had nothing to do. We divorced the Quran. We made hijrat from the Quran. اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. The teachings of the Quran, the reverence of the Quran, the recitation of the Quran, like it's just like it doesn't exist in our lives. Like Quran Sharif hasn't got place in our lives. Whereas Quran Sharif must be so much alive. And may Allah make this that it's not just talking and listening, but that we, and if somebody gives us, Alhamdulillah, just there is nothing that makes me more happier. Many places I go, the person says, you came 12 years ago here, 15 years. You told us this, since then I'm reading this. That makes me the most happy. And may Allah Ta'ala accept it, and may Allah Ta'ala make it a storage for Akhirah. So this is not just a matter of a bayan and listening, and how many people came for i'tikaf and all that. That is not the point at all, to bring this in our lives. May Allah give me, first and foremost, and all of us, tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah.